We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550. Let's go Buffalo. Let's go
Buffalo. The Bills make me wanna shout.
The Bills make me wanna. All right, you got to get to Sal, which I'll tell you about in a second here. Brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? 803-0550 to join us if you have a question, comment, opinion, or anything else to share with Mr. Capaccio, who is with us right now. And I know I'm forgetting something, but whatever. Hey, Sal, how you doing? Happy Football Friday.
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Frazzled. I don't know why. The whole week, frazzled. I know we got to get to the injury report. We always do with you. But the Bell story is the story of the morning at this point. So, Bell going to Kansas City. Bell's not getting him. Your thoughts?
I thought he'd actually go to Miami after a while. It just seemed like because he has a home down there, he trains down there. It seemed like they were offering him a lot of money. Maybe that was a deciding factor. It was going to be, but ultimately it wasn't. I don't know exactly what the Kansas City Chiefs gave him. Maybe they gave him a big contract too. I don't think that's been reported necessarily yet. Haven't seen that. But it's okay. It's like, look, this is a player that I think the Bills could have really used. I don't think they needed him necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, it would have really been nice to have him. He would fit in the offense well. But it's not like, oh, my God, what are they going to do? Yes, they've struggled to run the ball. But this is not a crisis situation. It was just, hey, this is a player that's available. He's really good. And if you can get him to help your team, you do it. They weren't able to do it, so you move on. It's okay.
The struggles to run the ball, Sal, what do you think it stems from? Is it because – last year, I've pointed this out a couple times because this stat I felt like it was important. Last year with Frank Gore, they didn't run read option. They kind of smashed him up there, and you know he ran into the line a bunch, and Devin Singletary saw a lot of light boxes, fewer than eight men in the box. He's seeing that again this year, but yet the yards per carry is down over a full yard. They're just not getting it done in the run game, even the way they were last year. Is it the shuffling on the offensive line that they've gone through that was a little bit unexpected? Is it just that, the matchups, the passing game, the way they've changed their offense, do you see anything specifically that points to the drop-off?
I do think there's some struggles in the offensive line to block. I do think it partly is the reason. It's the cause and effect here. I think you're asking, you know, is the shuffling causing the running game? I think it might be the other way around. Maybe the running game is also not
causing the shuffling.
Maybe the running game's not going, yeah. So it's causing them to shuffle too, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. It could be both, right, Jer? I mean, like, okay, well, this isn't working. Let's try this. And when you do that, I think there are some timing issues going on. Let's say that too. I think there are. A lot of it is because whenever you run that read stuff, like, you got to have really good timing, you know, and everything's kind of got to be perfect. You know, when they have their best runs, it seems like it's some of the stuff they get out to the edge. Isaiah McKenzie even on jet sweeps, things like that. And we all know that Devin Singletary is a much better runner in space, right? So I think the timing between the tackles runs, things like that. But they're not a really good, really big physical run-blocking team. I think that, you know, but we have to accept that and know that. That's just not the offensive line they've built. Now, John Feliciano can be. I think Cody Ford can be. They have players who can be. But as a group, I think what they really want to do and what they really are is an athletic group that can really get out on you and they can do a lot of different things to move around because that's what they've built. So I do think they're missing the element of the physical running back. And I think Zach Moss can help them. He's not a savior, but it's at least a piece of the puzzle. And I think we talked about this the other day when TJ Yeldon played Tuesday night. I thought he ran the ball well, and I thought the Bills needed a little more of that, a little more of that physicality in their running game, a little more of that, hey, just turn around and hand it straight off and go from under center instead of shotgun, you know, move here, move there, read this, all this different misdirection. So probably a few things that Brian Daboll can look at to see maybe if they go a little bit to that, that can open up some of that other stuff. And, you know, you are just still dealing with a second-year running back for the main part. And, you know, Devin Singletary, I think in a lot of ways sometimes he's still figuring that part of it out. So I guess it's a long way of saying, Jeremy, I think there's a few things going on. But if anybody wants to see this, you know, team do what, like you said last year with Frank Gore, they're just, they're kind of not built that way. And they don't really have the parts to do that right now, especially with John Feliciano out.
So you were talking a moment ago about the offensive line shuffle. And I wanted to ask you, like, we went into the season talking a lot about continuity on the offense. Everybody was back. And at that point, we were thinking Dawkins, Spain, Morse. We weren't sure about Ford, but Feliciano right guard and Ford and Secchi, or just Ford at tackle, and all of a sudden everything changed. Feliciano got hurt. Spain eventually loses the job, really. And now they've played around with both right guard and left guard combinations so far this season. How much of a problem? Well, first off, if you could just talk a little bit about them, maybe are they still trying to come together as a unit? Do you think it's affecting pass pro at all? Because I don't feel like it is. It feels like it's more of a run issue.
I think it's more of a run issue, but there have been times I think that Josh has been under pressure a little too much this year. I do think that. To me, that's more one-on-one. When I look at that, it's basically guys not making blocks one-on-one where someone misses something, and that's why. Plus, because of Josh and the way he does, you know, move around back there and some of the things they run, you're going to expect sometimes, you know, he's going to be moving around. He's not stationary. So it's a little tougher, I think, sometimes in pass pro to do that. I don't think that that's really been a major issue, but probably want to get him maybe a little bit more time, at least in some spots where I think he could have been. They have a little bit of issue, I think, you know, when they have some breakdowns. I don't know about the chemistry, I guess, you know, that you're asking, if that matters as much. These guys, they have been together for the most part for a couple of years now, really, right? You go back to last year. I mean, this offensive line, now Darrell Williams is new, you know, but for the most part, these guys have all kind of, Brian Winters is, I don't know. I think that's more of an excuse for me. Sure, it can happen. And you don't have the benefit. You didn't have the benefit of all of these other mini camps and camps and training camps on time and all that kind of stuff. So I think that can happen. But everybody's in the same boat. Defenses are in the same boat, too, for all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I think that they have what they want now, where they want it, which is Cody Ford at left guard. I think he's going to stay there. When John Feliciano comes back, to me, that means he's probably staying at right guard, and then you figure out what you're going to do with Brian Winters and how you're going to go about. I would imagine Feliciano starts. But I don't think it's the chemistry or, you know, meshing issue, I guess, as much, Howard, as just kind of guys not winning their one-on-one battles enough and as often.
With Sal, 803-0550 to join us. Got a few other things I want to get to, but let's do the injury report, which is the injury update brought to you by Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univeraforbusiness.com. What's a jog through, by the way?
It's a way for coaches to let you know you better not walk.
Right. So it's not as strenuous as a full practice, but it's not as casual as a walkthrough. It's somewhere in the middle.
I think it's an intentional lingo to make sure you know this is not walk day. This is jog day.
I don't know that I've ever seen a practice referred to as a jog through before.
I don't know. I guess that would be what it is, but it is funny that, you know, when he was said that, I thought the same thing. I'm like, I think it's a little message to everybody. Hey, we're not having a walkthrough. We're not off today. You better move a little bit. We're jogging through. But anyway, that's what it was. It was a lighter practice yesterday. There were no pads on. There were no helmets. But it was really good and encouraging to see so many players out there who had missed on Tuesday night. John Brown, at the end of the day, when the Bills send out their injury report, John Brown was a full participant and Matt Milano was a limited participant. And Tre'Davious White was a limited participant. Zach Moss was full with the toe, even though he practiced last week, he still didn't play. And Quentin Spain, even though it was with his foot, he was still a full participant. So all in all, everybody practiced. Even Josh Allen was listed with the left shoulder injury as a full participant. The only guy who didn't was Dawson Knox. But I did see him off to the side, you know, with some trainers just like catching some passes or, you know, running through some drills or whatever. Off to the side. He wasn't doing anything with the team. And then Levi Wallace, too, I thought that was really encouraging. He was actually doing some footwork off to the side, some ladder drills. And, you know, for a guy that's on IR with an ankle injury, I think that's a really encouraging sign as well.
again, you are the media sees a very small portion of practice, in this case, the jog through. But I know you had tweeted out some video of Trey White. Could you tell whether or not he was moving okay off the back injury?
It's hard to tell with a jog through, honestly. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're it's really so light. I do have some video. People can judge for themselves. I thought it was fine. You know, I didn't see him jump up and go high point balls, but you know, it's not like, like I said, it wasn't like a competitive type of situation. They were really just doing more regular drills, position drills and things like that. So really, it's hard for me to dissect from something like that.
All right. Let's see. I wanted to get to what I'm going to get to next. All right. I guess we can talk about the defense because we've been talking about that a lot this week. And you tweeted out or retweeted a comment from Lorenzo Alexander on Tremaine Edmonds. Let's start there. What did he have to say?
Okay. Yeah, it's good. We've had, I've been involved in a couple threads on Tremaine and how well he's playing or not playing. And, you know, there's a very big debate going on right now amongst Bills fans about Tremaine Edmonds. And he had a couple rough games. There's no doubt about that, especially, I think, the Rams game coming back from an injury. And then Tuesday night, I thought he played pretty well Tuesday night. In fact, to be quite honest with you, after the game, I was talking with a couple people, and I said, you know, I thought Tremaine actually stepped up and played a lot better tonight. And someone looked at me and said, I thought he did. But I think we're in the spot now where, and like, that's fine if someone didn't feel that, but I think we are in the spot now where, because the defense did not play all particularly well, they didn't get these critical stops, I think it's easy to point blame at Tremaine because he hasn't played that well lately, right? But I thought he played pretty well. And then Lorenzo jumps in the thread and he said, he's not struggling. Someone said he's struggling so much. He said, hey, look, I just went back and watched the game. He's playing downhill. He was all over the field. He's still going through some things. I think Lorenzo's basically saying, I think he's still got an injury he's recovering from, but he said he's not, he played well in that game. I thought he did as well. Now that doesn't erase some of the struggles he's had this year, but I do think he played pretty well in Tuesday night's game. There's also this question about whether or not he's playing the right position. And this has been with him since he came in the league. Some people thought he'd be an outside linebacker in the NFL. Now, look, I know that, you know, Lorenzo kind of took Tremaine under his wing, and I know that he believes in him. But he also said he does not need to change positions. He's fine where he is, and he's playing well. Look, I don't think he needs to change positions either. I do believe that his true natural position, the best fit possible for him in the NFL, to me, would be a 3-4 inside linebacker. The Bills do not play a 3-4, and I'm not saying he's not a 4-3 middle linebacker. All I'm saying is I think maybe that would be maybe the absolute best fit for him. But they're not going to change just for that. He's fine at 4-3 middle linebacker. I think the other thing people have to realize is, you know, this isn't Ray Lewis here. You know, the middle linebackers are not like that these days. Yes, he's a big specimen, but he really is a guy that relies on length and athleticism. He's not just go and plug the A-gap every single time and bash your head against the fullback guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's a throwback middle linebacker. That's not really who Tremaine Edmonds is. Plus, the Bills play so much nickel. They usually only have two linebackers on the field anyway. And as Lorenzo pointed out, well, you could run 3-4 anyway, and as soon as you put a guy with his hand down on the ground, it becomes a 4-3 essentially, right? I mean, that's what it is. So to me, he doesn't need to change positions. I think that he's playing exactly where he needs to be. I do think he needs to play better overall. I also don't think he was bad on Tuesday night. I thought he actually had one of his better games this year. Not saying a lot because he did struggle for a couple games, but he certainly wasn't like he was the previous 2 weeks.
In terms of needs on the defense, we talked with you yesterday, I think it was, Sal, about not having Star Lotulelei, and that also came up, I think, during Sean McDermott's Zoom call yesterday. You touched on this a little bit whatever day it was that you were here for the Extra Point Show. I'm sorry, I can't keep them all straight. The idea of
just wait till next week, there's two more.
Yeah, I know. The idea of just a bigger body. I know you had mentioned Vincent Taylor, and I don't even remember if he's still on the roster or not.
No.
But what about the idea of, if they're out there looking for stuff, is it just as simple as they just need to get like a bigger human being in the middle of the defense?
No, it's not that simple because there's lots of big human beings walking around who can't take on double teams from offensive linemen in the NFL.
I am one, by the way, but it would not be a good idea. Yeah.
And right, so I don't think it's just, hey, this guy's big, put him in there. You know, I mean, I think people on the roster need to understand their roles and do them a little better. They do have big guys. It's not like everybody who's a defensive lineman for the Bills is the size of, you know, Jeremy and me. You know what I mean? They are defensive linemen in the NFL. Vernon Butler's a big man. Quentin Jefferson's a big man. They're not, but their role and what they've been doing their whole lives and what they've been trained to do in their careers, taking on double teams and just being guys who, you know, don't get hooked and don't get caught in the wash, if you will, and you can kind of just go down the line and squeeze the hole, basically. You know, that's not who these players necessarily have been in the systems. Maybe Vernon Butler has been a little bit, not Quentin Jefferson as much, though, I'll tell you that. And I think it's partly of them still understanding and fitting in, okay? But the other part is, sure, I think you still need to have a little more size in there would help. So if there's a guy that became available and he actually understood that role, sure, go ahead and get him. But it's not as simple as, oh, just go get this guy because he's big and let's plop him in there, because he could wind up hurting you more than helping you by not understanding all of that. I do think they miss some size up front. They are a bit of an undersized unit compared to other teams in the league. But I also think it's partly understanding your role and how it fits in, as Sean McDermott says, your 111th in team defense and things like that.
Okay, I'm really curious about this, and it has nothing to do with the game on Monday or the season being played out. What's up with Josh Allen and the visor?
I asked
I'm glad you brought this up.
The media tweets about that every week when it's when the practice is open.
His answer is interesting, Sal. I mean, I wonder, you know, as someone who's – anybody that's done any level of – you've coached or any sort of preparation for anything. I found this interesting that he says he thinks it trains his eyes better, right? Like, at practice, he thinks it trains him, and he might be right about that. My question gets to, and I wonder how the Bills feel about this. There are plenty of, whatever, you want to say schools of thought or practices that would say, you practice as you play. Why would Allen change from practice to play? You know, if it trains your eyes, wouldn't you do it in the game then?
I don't know if he's even allowed to do it.
Are you?
Game,
I was curious if there's a
Well, if that's the case, in that case, I guess his thought is, but you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I immediately went to
you should practice as you play. Mm-hmm. That comes down to, you know, McDermott playing Renegade and pumping in crowd noise, and the whole idea is we're going to try and make the practice environment as close to the game as possible. And here's a tool. It doesn't mean that he's doing it wrong. I just found it very interesting. Here's a tool he's using to try and get better, but at the same time, it is not like a game day kind of environment.
That's right. I do wonder about that. I don't know. I guess they feel okay with that. Maybe there's other things that other guys use as well. You know, it's like maybe Tre'Davious White wears his harness. He doesn't do it in a game. He does it during practice to do something to keep, you know, keep his torso square, to work his back. He wasn't the only one, by the way. People could say, oh, that's because of the back injury. Actually, Levi Wallace had one on yesterday. Dawson Knox had one on yesterday. So it might be something that they do. I don't know. It's a good question. I agree. But apparently they feel that's okay. And maybe I see him with it on a lot. I don't see him with it on every day. It has been more frequently, I guess, the last few weeks. His answer, by the way, I do want to bring up his answer. His original answer to me was that it's some sort of technology and he can see all these things. Like, he was like acting like it was like this thing that was really super cool, but he was totally joking, and I thought he was being serious because of technology these days, where you could see things that, you know, you normally can't see on the field. But then he said, no, it's really what happened was Davis Webb said he was going to wear one, and he's like, oh, okay, well, I'll wear one too. And then he said, I spiced it up and went to the gold one instead of the more clear one. He said, but what happens is there are spots in there where he can't see things as well as he'd like to, so he thinks it trains his eyes to be able to focus on the things he needs to be able to focus on. I agree. I thought about the same thing. I guess it's, look, we all know the way the team is as far as being very attentive to detail. So I guess if they thought that was hurting him in any way, they would tell him not to do that.
Right.
They must feel it's helping him, and he must feel it's helping him too. But I guess the overall point would be, so people understand, what he's saying is it's allowing him, by wearing it, he focuses on the things he needs to focus on in certain plays, and he doesn't get distracted by the other things, and that should translate over into games to make sure he's focusing on certain areas of the field and certain spots.
Yeah, there are a lot of examples of this. I can remember Donovan McNabb used to wear these goggles in some practices that they would kind of, they were like strobe, like blinking. They would close off his vision, and it was trying to, he used to wear them to try to train himself for losing sight of a receiver, but then knowing still where that receiver was. Like, you know, there's chaos when you're dropping back as a quarterback. There's hands in your faces. There's linemen being pushed into you. And whether it's virtual reality helmets or whatever, quarterbacks have long tried to use a lot of different tools to train their eyes and to kind of train their brains to, you know, understand what's happening and kind of slow things down.
Yeah, that's right. I'm so interested in the technology. I mean, there's teams and players and whatever that use a lot of virtual reality now, right? They wear the virtual reality stuff. And I don't know if it's necessarily, it's not when guys are coming at them, you know what I mean, on the field and stuff like that. There's a lot of different technological, you know, tools and uses that teams have and players have and things like that. I thought it was interesting, but I will tell you, like, it has been, I said, Josh, your visor's become a legend. Like, people just want to talk about it all the time. And, yeah, it was good. It was good to, you know, to ask and get an answer about it. But that's the reason. He said he would not consider wearing it in a game. I don't even know if it's allowed, but he said he would not wear it in a game. I asked him if, you know, you would do that. He said, no, he would not do that because of what we just said, which is he wouldn't be able to see everything on the field the way he could, because there's certain spots where he can't see certain things.
Interesting stuff. Hey, last thing before we let you go, we were talking yesterday about Leslie Frazier and how his Zoom calls are really interesting. You tweeted something out about Stefon Diggs and his Zoom calls. What got you there?
I just think every time I talk to I shouldn't say I talk to him. So Stefon Diggs has been in Buffalo since, what, March? We've had him on Zoom calls a handful of times, especially since the season started. I'm on almost every one of them. And yet, for the first time ever, I actually asked him a question. I usually don't either have a question or I'm at the back of the line, I guess, right? I don't get in quick enough or something like that. So I said to him, I said, hey, Stefon, you know, it's Al Capaccio, WGR. I said, I'm on all these Zoom calls with you, but I've never asked you a question. He even said to me, he goes, yeah, Sal, I haven't seen you before, right? Like, he's just, and that's a point I want to make. He's very engaging with everyone who asks him a question. He seems like he knows the people already, even though he's really never met us, so to speak. He's very thoughtful. He gives very good, concise, honest answers. I think he's a great communicator. I just really enjoy every time he does a Zoom session. You know, when you guys, you know, you've been doing this long enough where there's certain interviews for people you love having on because they're like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy when Stefon Diggs does a media Zoom session. He's thoughtful. He's engaging. You know, he'll have banter with you. During the call, someone asked him about him and Josh Allen, their relationship, and he looked over and he said something about, he said, hey, fatty, how much you weigh now, to Josh Allen, who was off the screen.
Yeah.
Right? And Josh said, 210. He said, you're lying. And then
if he weighs 210, come on.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, I really thought I wanted to make sure people know that. Like, I appreciate him on these calls. And that's not to say that other people, you know, they're bad, but everybody's got their own personality. I really enjoyed, you know, from afar, listening to and getting to know Stefon. I asked him a question. I asked him about contested catches. I said, you know, you are so good at contested catches. Like, what goes into that? When the ball's in the air, what's in your mind about, I got to go up and get this ball now? And, you know, he kind of had no real explanation for it. He said it's just a mindset of attacking the football, you know, high-pointing it and, you know, understanding where your body is and things like that. I said, you know, a lot of times, guys, these guys who do that, they're kind of like punt returners. And like Micah Hyde has always said, because he's a punt returner, his baseball background has helped him. Mm-hmm. And I asked Stefon about, you know, playing baseball. And I believe he said something to the effect of, I tried baseball for 1 year, but I have ADHD and I couldn't handle it. And I mean, right? I'm saying
you can definitely lose your focus in that sport. Yeah.
Wait, I'm just saying, it was kind of interesting. Like, he's always got an interesting response, and I just appreciated that about him.
I thought about Diggs yesterday, Sal. When the Le'Veon Bell thing was happening, someone wrote to me on Twitter, like, don't want him, he's a headache. And I immediately thought of Diggs, and it's not to say, you know, Bell wouldn't be a headache, but just – sometimes the story from where the guy's coming from, right? Diggs was supposed to be a malcontent. He was a diva. He's a problem. Minnesota was so happy to be moving on because of whatever. And turns out if you're a great player that's competitive and stuck in a place where you think things are going the wrong way, you might want something else. And maybe that's why Le'Veon Bell wants out of the Jets. Like, this guy, Adam Gase, what is going on here? Now he goes over to a good team in Kansas City and maybe fits right in. So, you know, whether that's winning helps or, you know, some guys just aren't good in every situation. I thought about Diggs yesterday when people were making the points about Bell and how he might be a headache.
Well, and look, I mean, we have the culture conversation a lot and things like that. And I'll say, and I think that one thing people say a lot, you know, to me, because I believe in it, is, well, it just goes against this. Let's say if you have a guy, I'm not saying Bell is, let's say you have a guy. And my response always to that is, well, it is always evolving too. I think the point is too, if you think you have a good enough room, you can then start to accept more people like that because you feel like they will be absorbed in to that particular culture. So it is interesting. It is different. And I got a lot of that on social media yesterday too. Oh, you don't want this guy, malcontent. Look what he did to Pittsburgh. And he forced his way out of the Jets. I understand that thinking, but I think the overall point is whether it's Le'Veon Bell or anyone else, Stephon Diggs, I think the Bills feel they have a certain culture, a certain environment, a certain locker room that they can take on guys now that have maybe even some questionable personalities because of the leaders and the people that they have built and know what the way is that those people would kind of fall in line and be absorbed by that.
Mr. Capaccio, thank you for some quality Football Friday time with us. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you on game day Monday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.